Today's April 9th, 2015. This is a Joint Committee on Ways and Means Subcommittee on Natural Resources. Today is a continuation of the public hearing on House Bill 5042. We'll go ahead and open up a public hearing on House Bill 5042. And we will call up Katie Fast and April Snell.
Good morning.
Yeah, good morning. Please begin when you're ready.
For the record, Katie Fast with the Oregon Farm Bureau. Farm Bureau is here in support of 5042, the water resources budget. I want to start off by saying that we are very impressed and grateful for the leadership that Tom Beiler has brought to the agency. He has a solution-oriented manner that I think is going to be very critical as we move into this drought year. And looking at the water resources budget and the season that we're going to have, unfortunately, in most of Oregon facing drought issues, having a strong budget is going to be important, especially in the field services area, as they are going to be having to manage and regulate water rights to protect senior users in the systems and try to reduce as much conflict on the ground as possible. So as you're looking at that budget, field services is going to be a very critical area as we move into this season. I think this is also a time to look at how we address water shortages in the future. And the budget has a very aggressive package that we're in support of around water development. First being the feasibility studies and the funding for those found in the Water Conservation, Storage, and Reuse Feasibility Grant Fund. There is $2 million additional dollars being put into that grant fund. We are very supportive of that feasibility fund. It is the basis where projects start, where they see if they can reach their permitting requirements, if they're feasible to meet also the financial needs there. And that's a very important package as you're looking at moving into the actual development funds. We are additionally very supportive of the $20 million in grants and the $30 million in loans. We need to be more creative in Oregon on how we're addressing water needs, not just in storage, but also in conservation and reuse areas as well. And with that, I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you very much, Ms. Fast.
Hi. For the record, April Snell with the Oregon Water Resources Congress. Co-Chair Rarefield, Representative Hack, members of the committee, thank you for your time today. I have submitted a letter that I won't repeat, but it is on behalf of not only the Oregon Water Resources Congress, but also the Association of Oregon Nurseries that you'll hear from shortly, as well as the League of Oregon Cities, the Association of Oregon Counties, Freshwater Trust, Special Districts Association of Oregon, and the Northeast Oregon Water Association. And we are also supportive of all of the components that Ms. Fast just listed, and I won't reiterate except to emphasize that we feel it's very important that the Water Resources Department has a adequate amount of general fund budget to support its key functions and to strengthen the data that it needs to collect, and then also that it has funding to support planning, feasibility, and implementation of water supply projects. And there are different packages that are associated with each of those components. We also are very supportive of Director Beiler's leadership, and he has a hard task ahead of him, as do all of the water users and everyone in this state, as we look ahead to another year where we'll have probably an extreme drought. And this is something that has been occurring more and more. And we feel that the components in this budget are essential to ensuring that we can meet not only our current needs, but our future needs that are behind us. So we are very appreciative of the department's budget and think there are important components for not only bond and lottery-backed bond financing, but also general fund components for the budget. Thank you very much. Be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you both. Are there any questions? All right, with that, thank you very much. We'll call up Jeff Stone and Tom Wolf.
I guess I scared him away.
All right, then we'll call up Garrett Roseberry.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning. Please good begin when you're ready.
Good morning. I am Jeff Stone. I'm the Executive Director for the Oregon Association of Nurseries. We are the largest sector of agriculture, predominantly Willamette Valley based. I want to give this committee and this legislature a lot of credit for deeds done thus far. You have reinvested in the natural resource agencies over the last couple years, and it has a significant impact. And so you heard our call for the need of general fund and fee-based efforts to fully fund the natural resource agencies, of which water resources is part. I'd echo the love fest that you will hear for Director Beiler. He has made a significant impact, and those things cannot be understated. Water is critical for the nursery and greenhouse industry. We're very water dependent. No water, no nursery industry. Pretty simple. And investments in infrastructure and water development are equally critical. All you have to do is look down to the state of California and see what happens when you don't manage water well. So there are a variety of different things that are encompassed into this budget, including some funding, larger funding packages, which this subcommittee will deal with later on in the session. But for just a quick aside about why it's impactful for the nursery industry, this department really helps nurseries. There's no new water really for the nursery industry. We're a lot of senior water right holders. But water transfers to going in between are really critical components. And having adequate staff, having an adequate program to make sure that those water transfers happen, really are critical for the nursery industry. And I would say, State, you heard about the drought. The drought is, you know, whether or not what your position is on climate change is immaterial, but what you will find with the snowpack used to be our storage. And having that melt off during the course of the year. With the snowpack being so low, we need to be innovative. And unlike California, which waited too long, Oregon needs to get ahead of that ball game. So I thank you, commend you for your support for this particular budget. I urge you to fully fund the Water Resources Department, and we will work with you hand in hand to make that happen. So thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Co-chair, Representative Rayfield, committee. My name is Garrett Roseberry, and I'm here today to speak on behalf of an irrigation group by the name of the Sprague River Water Resource Foundation. The Sprague River Group makes up over 50% of the irrigators in the Upper Klamath Basin. The Sprague Group has been involved in the Klamath water conflicts for over 20 years, from the long and frustrating litigation and the uncertainty to the historic 2013 water shutoff. And we were also asked to be part of an innovative agreement that was developed last year. As the diversified groups started moving forward in creating this agreement, it became very apparent that we needed the help of Oregon Water Resource. We needed the help in forbearance agreements, water retirement, water leasing, water rotation, split season use, transfer of water, water measuring, and a handful of other tools that Oregon Water Resource was able to bring to the table and educate us on and teach us how to use those tools in a fashion to make our communities whole. As the Upper Basin Comprehensive Agreement developed, it also became clear that we needed Oregon Water Resources participation on a daily basis to help us do the activities that I just had said. In order for the Upper Basin Comprehensive Agreement to be successful, we need one or two people from Oregon Water Resource Department dedicated full time to that process. The issues that we deal with are real time. There's when we have water rotations happening, we work intimately with Oregon Water Resource, the water masters, and their technical advisory teams in Salem so that we know how much water we have, when we can rotate it, and how we can rotate it, and still stay within the confines of Oregon law. Oregon water law is extremely technical, and for an irrigator, we don't have the time or the capacity to understand all of the laws. They have been invaluable in helping us navigate the extremely complicated water laws of Oregon. All of the tasks can only be done by Oregon Water Resource. All of those tasks I have mentioned before. Without the high-level participation of Oregon Water Resource in the entire Klamath Basin, my community and the entire basin, the Klamath Basin, will experience an economic downturn that we will never recover from. So this isn't an issue for me necessarily just about funding. It's an issue about my community having the opportunity to move forward after two decades of litigation. We're finally in a position that we can do that with a diversified group of people that really want to take Klamath off of the front page and become part of history in Oregon as being successful in water management. So I would like to thank you all for your time. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you both. Are there any questions? Okay. With that, we'll go ahead and call Alan Unger and Doug Riggs up.
I'll start. I'm Alan Unger. I'm a Deschutes County Commissioner. I am co-chair of the AOC Water Policy Committee, and I'm chair of the Deschutes Water Alliance. I've been working on water for 15 years. Cities need water to grow, agriculture needs certainty in supply, and rivers and the environment need improvement. The Association of Oregon Counties supports the IWS, the Integrated Water Planning, what we're doing, and place-based planning. It's a bottoms-up. It's what we need to do. We need to come together. Basins are bigger than counties, multiple counties. We need to pull people together, and that's what we're doing in Deschutes County. We have a plan going. We have 30 people sitting around the table, 8 irrigation districts, cities, counties, environmental people. Kimberly Priestley behind me is there at the table. We just passed this Tuesday a plan of study with the Bureau of Reclamation. It's a big deal. It's a 3-year plan. We're going to look at climate change. We're going to look at how we manage the flows of the Deschutes River. Really, the river is an irrigation ditch. We hold water back in the winter, let out 20 CFS under Wikiup, and in the summer, we put 1,500 CFS out to support irrigation in the summer. But the spotted frog, this is great habitat for it. The biologists tell us we need 500 CFS through the wintertime. How do you do that when water is so precious in the eastern side of the mountains? So I just want to thank you for your support on the water, Oregon Water Resource Department. You have been supporting it over the years. It's really important. This is a long haul. You can't just start and stop. It takes us 3 years to do a plan. So steady, strong. Thank you for supporting the budget, and keep it strong.
Great. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I'm Doug Riggs on behalf of the Central Oregon Cities Organization. COCO started back in 1997 and 1998, and one of the first chairmen of the Central Oregon Cities was then Mayor Unger. So we appreciate Mayor Unger and now Commissioner Unger's leadership on this issue. I want to echo the commissioner's comments and also Jeff Stone's comments and make a couple points. I think I'd say make no mistake about it. WRD is one of the keys to economic development and job creation in this state. They're also an environmental protection agency. So the two of those meet hand in hand when it comes to this department. Without WRD and their staff, we simply could not move ahead in the agriculture industries, for high tech in Central Oregon. Data centers are becoming huge. The tourism industry, economic development like resorts, et cetera. None of this would have been possible in Central Oregon without the leadership of the WRD. Just a couple quick points. I think if you look at the budget and the staffing at the department, you'd see that they have fewer staff today than they had 10 years ago, 15 years ago. And that's provided complications for people in our district. We rely on those staff to be able to help implement and oversee the laws and the statutes that have been passed by the legislature, to sign off on the economic development applications, the water transfers, the leasing, et cetera. So without those key staff in the department, there's no one to keep an eye on water levels, to monitor groundwater, and to sign off on economic development issues. Second point I'd make is that WRD, through Phil Ward and now through Tom Beiler, has been a very thoughtful, collaborative agency. They have a history of helping us bring together parties in the basin. And I'd like to point to the handout that I think the staff has provided to you, titled Deschutes Basin Water Mitigation Conservation Program. I had a technical glitch this morning on my computer, so I couldn't send it to you. But we have been collaboratively working with the department back since 1995 to develop a very unique system of groundwater and surface water transfers and management tools in the basin. We've passed bills through this body back in 1995, in 2001, in 2003, in 2005, and in 2011. And collaboratively, those tools have allowed us to manage a very complex ecosystem in a way that has put flows back in the Deschutes. We have four times the amount of flows in the summer months than we used to have in the middle of Deschutes, which is tremendous. We've also been able to accommodate economic development and growth and job creation. All of our cities have a very careful plan for mitigating and conserving water, and it's been a collaborative effort. And I really compliment WRD for being at the table and helping bring together those parties. If you look at the list of partners that I have towards the top, we've had cities and counties, irrigation districts, agriculture users, tribes, environmental and river restoration groups, and the public at the table, as Alan mentioned, so very collaborative. So in conclusion, I really want to echo the support for the folks who've spoken earlier and the people who will come after me in support of the agency budget. It really is very important. It helps create jobs. It's economic development. It's environmental protection. In my mind, WRD is a win-win type of budget, and we'd urge its support.
Thank you, Bull.
Thank you.
Are there any questions? All right. With that, we will go ahead and call up Jenny Schmidt and Malia Kapalis. See if I pronounce that correctly. Could be Jerry Smith is what Schmidt. That's what it's looking like, isn't it?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Jerry Schmidt. I'm here representing the Oregon Groundwater Association. These are the men and women involved in the management of groundwater and the construction of groundwater systems. I was here earlier in another hearing talking to you about our valuable use of data and that concern with Dalgami, making sure that we continue to fund those type of organizations that give us base information that we can make judgments on. So in conjunction with this, this is the agency we primarily deal with, is the Oregon Water Resources Department, and we depend heavily on the core data that they provide us so that we can make judgments to the public about what is occurring with groundwater. I agree with the director who pointed out that the core areas are the most important. For instance, groundwater monitoring is extremely critical to us, but it's also the surface water monitoring is just as critical to the environmental groups or the irrigation folks so that they have an accurate core data to find out what's happening with the resource. So since I am fighting a head cold and don't have a whole lot of things to say, I brought with me Malia Kapalis. She is a co-owner of Pacific Hydrogeology. She is past chair of the Groundwater Advisory Committee for the department. She comes with a very technical background, uses data almost daily in her job, and with that I'll give it to Malia to talk a little bit about what they do.
Thank you. as Jerry said, my name is Malia Kapalis, and co-chair Rayfield and members of the committee, thank you for giving me this chance to testify before you today. Just to give you a brief background, I am a certified water rights examiner. I am also the chair of the Oregon Groundwater Association's Government Affairs Committee, which we work intimately with Jerry on the legislative things. I'm also the co-chair of the state's Ground Geologic Map Advisory Committee, which is a part of Dogami and their mapping, because we've recognized a long time ago that geologic mapping and the work that Water Resources does are highly integrated, and they work together very well, and they're both very important. I was also served for 6 years on the state's groundwater advisory committee and was chair for 2 of those years. So I have been intimately involved for a very, very long time in the state's water use from a government perspective as well as the day-to-day. We help vineyards, we help nurseries, we help farmers get their water rights and keep them in order. We work with developers who want to develop out in the rural area to help evaluate whether there's adequate water supplies out in these rural areas before the development goes in. So we're intimately involved in every aspect. And from that perspective, I would just like to point out to you, if you haven't figured it out already, that water basically is the lifeblood of the state. Without water, we cannot live. Without water, we do not have an economy. Without water, we have nothing. So Water Resources Department is one of the most important state agencies this state has, yet is, in my opinion, the most underfunded. And they need every penny that you give them, and they need more. The data they collect is priceless. It's priceless to us as hydrogeologists. It's priceless to us as certified water rights examiners. We cannot live without it. We cannot manage this state's resources without good data. And we need that data, and we're way behind in trying to get it compared to what we're facing now. We need the data to put in monitoring wells where we don't have data. We need additional data for a budget item that was supposed to have been in this budget that's not. And that is, when a well is drilled and that well log is submitted to the state, it needs to not only be reviewed for how complete it is, it needs to be reviewed technically. And that takes technical training, and it takes higher paid people to have those qualifications to do that. And the Water Resources Department does not have the staffing or the fees to pay the people who could do that job properly. And that's a real shortcoming that we would hope had been in this budget that we hope to get in future budgets. I would like to state that the Oregon Groundwater Association, as Jerry has pointed out, is in full favor of this budget in its entirety. Do not cut it. You cannot cut it. If you start cutting this budget, you're basically putting a tourniquet on the state. And as a water rights examiner, again, we need it. And an example I would like to give you is, you know, they're talking about maybe cutting some people's jobs out in the periphery of the state. We can't afford that. I have a client right now who's struggling to get a water right. If they had had proper staffing in eastern Oregon, where the person could have gone down and gotten the same help that you get in Salem, we wouldn't be where we are today. We wouldn't be struggling with our water right. His application would have been complete the first time. So I guess I would like to finish with, again, water is the lifeblood of Oregon from every aspect. Please support this budget. You've heard it over and over again, and I can't reiterate it enough. And thank you for this opportunity to testify.
Thank you. Are there any questions? Not seeing none, we will go ahead and call up Peggy Litch and Kimberly Priestley. It's difficult to read on this sheet.
I don't think I'm going to follow her. Mr. Co-Chair, members of the committee, Peggy Lynch, League of Women Voters of Oregon. All she said. The League of Women Voters is a grassroots, nonpartisan political organization that encourages the informed and active participation in government. You will find our testimony on OLIS. We support the general fund and lottery fund requests for the base budget activities. That's really critical. So we start with the base budget. Our next priority is, as the person before me just said, data. Our next priority is funding for data collection and analysis. There is a link between this scientific work and the need for future water storage in Oregon. In our letter, I used the acronym POP instead of package, so just want to make that clear. In most of the other budgets, it was POPs, and so in my late night writing of the letter, I didn't change the thing to PKG instead of POP. But we support a portion of the package 115, which is the place-based planning, as Commissioner Unger said. It is critical. We have got to have those conversations on the ground in local communities, because unless we bring the people together, we will not be able to have eventual storage that we will need here in Oregon. Package 110 is the monitoring coordinator. Again, it's a data issue, getting the data and hopefully from multiple agencies together to answer the questions that we need answered to do good policy. Package 101 and 104, again, is another data issue. In this case, it's the one that the Sprague River Group was talking about related to the Klamath. We have invested a great deal of time and money in the Klamath. They are in desperate need of the state's help to move forward. We need to support that. Package 106 relates to feasibility studies. We have supported this package for a long time. We do note that there is a 0.25 FTE for $750,000 of grants today. Depending upon how much additional that you provide, and they have asked for another $2 million, I think that should be a linkage between the FTE and the dollars. They have asked for full FTE. I don't know. It depends on how much you give them, whether or not they need the full FTE or not. I would like to see perhaps the linkage between that and any other loan funds so that we're using the grants staff in multiple ways. We don't take a position on POPs 113 and 120. It's the storage things. We figure that there are people here who are more competent to be able to discuss those issues than we do. Package 105 is one that we ask that you can not consider. It is a liaison to the 11 regional solutions teams. We have supported staff for regional solutions teams around the state. This is one person for 11 regional solutions teams. We're afraid that the amount of travel time that this person will have will dilute the actual work that could be done on behalf of these teams, and we have some real concerns about whether we're going to get bang for bucks. We are disappointed, and again, listening to the prior testimony about there's not more money for budgets for groundwater studies. You heard that 75% of the 300 water rights applications are for groundwater. We do not want to get where Umatilla got and where we have to then go back and spend more money for recharging aquifers. We have got to get a handle on it now rather than later. Then I want to do one last thing. We want to point out some really important connections between key performance measures and the prior funding. In 2013, you supported POP 101 to support water use reporting program. You then saw this time the KPM went over the charts, as in they more than met that goal. 103 to increase stream gauges and 202 to provide limited funding for groundwater work. In each of those cases where you provided additional staffing, additional dollars to do the work, you saw an increase in the targets being met under your key performance measures. Yes, there are management issues that sometimes are linked to key performance measures, but the truth is, it's the money. So I'm hopeful that as you look at your key performance measures and what you're asking of this department, that you make the links when you're doing the budget. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Co-Chair Rayfield, members of the committee, my name is Kimberly Priestley, and I'm here representing Water Watch of Oregon. Water Watch is a stream flow protection and restoration group that has been protecting Oregon's rivers for 30 years now. We have submitted fairly detailed testimony, so I will not go over all points today, but I did want to take a few minutes just to highlight some issues. First, as others in the room did, I cannot stress enough the importance of the work of the Water Resources Department. Whether farmer, city, tribe, recreationalist, fish, the work of the Water Resources Department is critical to meeting Oregon's in-stream and out-of-stream needs. The importance and the need of the Water Resources Department's work is highlighted in the 2012 Integrated Water Resources Strategy that was adopted by the Commission. It sets forth a broad array of recommendations to help the state meet both in-stream and out-of-stream needs. The strategy has 42 recommendations that fall under four primary objectives, and those are, one, to understand Oregon's water resources today. Filling the knowledge gap was a key objective for the diverse stakeholder group that helped develop the strategy, and I think you've heard others speak to similar topics today. Second, understanding Oregon's in-stream and out-of-stream needs. Again, this is about filling the knowledge gap and about data. Third, understanding coming pressures that affect our needs and supplies. Again, the need for more data on things such as climate change, endangered species, and economic drivers is needed to make good decisions going into the future. And fourth is meeting Oregon's in-stream and out-of-stream water needs. And this one specifically calls for long-term planning and also, importantly, day-to-day management of our water resources. The WRD's base budget will help us meet many of these objectives, but not all. So in addition to fully supporting the base budget of the Water Resources Department, we are respectfully asking the committee to fund additional packages to fund the broad array of recommendations in the strategy. In doing that, we respectfully ask the committee to look beyond the governor's recommended budget, but also look at the agency recommended budget. We have outlined a number of packages in our testimony that were in the agency recommended budget that did not make it into the governor's recommended budget, and we have attached the narratives from their budget, so the details are there. But I just wanted to stress that these include key, in addition to development, these include key data field staff and management positions. Again, in our written testimony, we've put forth a list of packages, but I just wanted to take a minute to stress just a couple of these. First, package 102, which would be the rebuilding of the water management field capacity. With increasing population pressures, Endangered Species Act issues, and drought issues, the field staff work is some of the most important work in the department. However, as we've heard from others today, over the years, the capacity in this department has actually decreased as the pressures have increased. This package, package 102, would add back two positions, a modest but important addition. These two positions, one would be for the Klamath Basin and could address some of the needs expressed by the gentleman from the Sprague River area. The other would cover the counties of Harney, Malheur, Baker, Union, and Wallawa. Currently, as I understand it, there is one water master covering over 9,000 square miles in that part of the state. And it's too big of a workload. And again, this is not in the governor's recommended budget. Two other key positions are found in package 107 and 104, and these are two hydro tech staff. These are the people that are critical for data collection that is necessary for day-to-day water management, whether for in-stream or out-of-stream users. And this package would fund, again, one for the Klamath River Basin. That would be package 104. And 107 would fund the Northwest region, which lost that position a few years ago in budget cuts and so currently is operating without this staff. And I guess additionally, in addition to those, I just wanted to take a minute to stress the need for more funding of the state USGS groundwater investigations. We've heard a couple of people recommend funding for those today. Streams across the state are almost fully allocated in the summer months. As a result, many people are turning to groundwater to supply new water needs. Yet, of the 18 river basins, we only have 3 of these groundwater investigations. There was unanimous support for moving forward with these investigations in the development of the Integrated Water Resources Strategy, and I cannot stress enough the importance of those for daily water management, planning, et cetera, going into the future. So with that, again, Water Watch is very much in support of the base budget of the Water Resources Department, but we would respectfully request that you look at the broad array of packages moving forward to help fund the department. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you both. Are there any questions?
So, Mr. Co-Chair, really quickly, so I just want to
note. You have a question for us?
I do. actually, I have another request. I just want to note that a person before me who talked about the linkage of Dogami's data with this department, I want to just put another plug in, that it's just really important that we do these linkages amongst agencies, and this is one. Dogami doesn't get much general fund, and in fact, here's the linkage as to what they need to be able to do their job, too. Thank you.
Thank you both. We'll go ahead and call up Eric Caller and Tracy Rutten. How do you pronounce your last name?
For the record, Eric Kanzler, City of Manly. And I am here today to offer our not that we have a vote, but our broad support for the Water Resources Department in general for the funding that was recommended pretty much across the board in the governor's budget, quite frankly. The value in this agency for us as a municipality really spans the spectrum of what they do. And so we are in the Deschutes Basin, and you've already heard from Commissioner Unger and Doug Riggs about the mitigation scheme that we work under. That's of value for balancing water use between municipalities and urban users and agricultural users, and the need to keep water in stream as well. We've also heard about changes in climate and snowpack, which are going to be absolutely crucial for us to address in the future, and would encourage this agency or this committee to fund the elements of the agency that could help deal with that. I'm not going to go into detail here, but I do want to highlight a couple quick things that are of particular interest to us. One is the place-based planning package that you've heard about. Anything that you can do to help this agency fund the local basin level collaborative planning efforts would be of value to us. We've done a lot of work in the Deschutes Basin figuring out how to get at the low-hanging fruit of improving storage efficiency, allocating water effectively, but we're getting to the point where we need additional resources to figure out how we're going to proactively manage water resources in the basin. And so that funding in particular would be of value to us. In general, as you look through the budget, there's a number of line items related to planning, place-based planning being one, project feasibility, and then project implementation on these types of standards. And so we'd encourage your broad support to fund those. And then lastly, I'd like to point out that, as we all know, water resource management is very complex, and the mechanical side of that, managing water rights extensions, processing them, understanding them is incredibly technical. So again, even more so in the Deschutes Basin, where we have a highly complex regime that we have to work within. So anything that you can do to support the positions that handle the mechanics of these issues, processing water rights extensions, applications, and things like that, would be tremendously valuable. That's one area that I would say the legislature hasn't aggressively funded enough within the department's budget. So we'd like to see more of that. And thank you for the opportunity to testify.
Thank you.
Good morning, Co-Chair Rayfield, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Tracy Rutten with League of Oregon Cities. I want to thank you for the opportunity to testify today enthusiastically in support of the Water Resource Department budget. Mark Lanner with the Special Districts Association could not be here today, but he is at home, I know, and watching, and also has signed on, as well as League of Oregon Cities, to a letter of support that you should have in OLIS, indicating our support for the budget overall, but also for specific packages included within the budget. I want to take an opportunity to thank the department and their staff, especially Director Beiler, for stepping into this role and really rolling up his sleeves, being able to kind of step into some very tough conversations that we've had over the course of the last year or so, or since the 2013 legislative session. The staff has been highly responsive to the needs that we have had, to the concerns that we have shared with them, and they've communicated very effectively with us as we kind of continue these discussions and continue the work of really looking at how we're going to begin to address some very complicated issues around our water supply in Oregon. As municipal water suppliers, we are the suppliers of we represent 6% of the out-of-stream use in Oregon overall. So it's that small sliver of the chart, depending on what area you're in. It's a little larger. But we do provide water to 88% of the population of Oregon who relies on municipal water supply. We're about 3.3 million people. So it really is a backbone for our communities and their economic development, as well as their public health and public safety. I was listening this morning to OPB on my way down in the fog and trying to get here on time to the issues around California's drought. And it is alarming, and it should have all of our attention, and it certainly has the attention of the cities. As I'm sure you know, the governor has implemented some pretty severe restrictions on municipal water use across the state. We have an opportunity here. We are not there yet in Oregon, but we have a shortage. We have supply issues. We have water management issues. And it is, I think, right now imperative that we invest resources and that we really do continue to engage in these conversations going forward to see how we're going to work together. And it's not just a one-off approach. It can't just be municipal. It cannot just be agriculture. It cannot just be environmental needs. And that's what we've started, is that process. And in 2013, I think, you know, we took a very important first step through passage of Senate Bill 839 in that discussion. And we are looking forward to continuing that discussion, and we see it as being critical for our communities and for the economic development of our state. We have something in Oregon that California does not have, and that's rainfall. And we certainly don't have the snowpack right now, but we do have rainfall. But what we don't have is storage. And it's not just storage, it's conservation. It's a lot of things. And as Eric, Mr. Kanzler just mentioned, we've done a lot of the low-hanging fruit projects. So what we need now is some real roll up your sleeves, get around a table, and start planning and talking about what we're going to do collectively to more holistically manage the limited resources that we have. So with that, I just want to mention a few specific packages that we support. Package 106, that is the feasibility studies package and enhancement of those funds. Package 113, funding water supply projects, the additional grant and loan funds for those projects. Package 115, which is the community water planning and a process that we have been supportive of throughout, and is something that our LOC Water Policy Committee has talked about extensively and engaged with the department in terms of their ideas and concepts about how we can actually make that a very effective tool to take a look at what opportunities exist out there amongst the variety of water users. Package 120, which is a reinstatement and recapitalization of the Water Development Loan Fund, which is a fund that has been not in use for a number of years, but we see as a real opportunity to continue to fund water supply projects. And then package 105 and 110 with the increased data collection and coordination efforts as well. So with that, I'm happy to answer any questions that you have, and thank you for your time.
Thank you, Wolf. Is there any questions? All right, seeing that, we'll call up our last panel, and that would be Angie Dilks, and our last call for Tom Wolf, if he is. I don't think he's come back in.
He's over at Cal State.
Good morning, Chair Rayfield, members of the committee. My name is Angie Dilks, and I'm here representing the Oregon Environmental Council. I will say I'm really glad I'm last, because compared to the pros behind me, I think I just was playing high school ball yesterday, and they called me and said, hey, will you come talk? So just know that my level of knowledge is nothing compared to this crew behind me. We wanted to make sure that you heard their support of this agency's budget, so that's why you got the rookie today. You know, the agency, as with all agencies, I think, is full of good people doing good work, really working hard to maximize the use and protection of this most precious resource. In the written testimony that they submitted, you'll see in OLIS, they pointed out some concerns about the intersection between Package 120 and the ongoing work to implement Senate Bill 839, which I believe is Package 113 in this budget. And I would just point you to that as being something that they're concerned about going forward, especially the dollar amount in Package 120 versus Package 113. With that, I will say thank you to you all for your ongoing work analyzing budgets in times where there's never enough to make everybody happy. And I would offer to answer questions, but I can almost guarantee that I won't be able to. So if you have any, I'd be happy to find out the answers and get back to you.
I will lob you a softball. When you say they're concerned about the money, are mm-hmm. they concerned about it and they're concerned that they want us to fully fund it, or they're concerned that they don't want us to fully fund it?
They're concerned that in Package 120 that the amount is much higher than the amount for the ongoing work around Senate Bill 839, and their preference would be for more investment to go into the, I guess, the Package 113, the 839 work.
Are there any other questions? All right. With that, thank you very much. Thank you all. This issue doesn't get as much press as probably a lot of others, considering the importance in our state, so I appreciate everybody coming here today. The one thing that I would, Director Byler, would you like to come back up specifically, possibly to address Jeff Stone's, I think what he called a love fest? Are you blushing yet?
I'm not sure when I go on the record.
Okay, is there anything else besides the Love Fest you'd like to follow up with?
Mr. Co-Chair, I will be very brief, and thank you for the opportunity to come back up. I don't have any substantive comments other than to thank you for the opportunity to be able to present and have a dialogue with you over the last few days. I appreciate it very much. The line of questions were very good, and we stand ready to have more dialogue with you in the future. We want to do everything we can to help you feel informed as you make decisions that are important to the state and to our agency. So thanks again for the time to be able to present.
Yeah, thank you. Are there any? Yes, Senator Dembrough.
I just want to say, Mr. Chair, you know, it really is coincidental that as we've been hearing this agency's budget and hearing about its work this week, we've been hearing these reports from California, mm-hmm. And especially the terrible state of their groundwater, and you know, the effects of a lack of planning and a lack of real, you know, making those hard decisions that I think we have made here in this state. We're reaping the benefit of some forethought from before, but we have to keep that going. It's great to see the agency in such good hands and moving in a good direction.
Absolutely. All right. Is there anything else? With that, I actually saw Tom Wolf come in, even though we were going to close the public hearing, so we'll give him a shot, even though he's tardy.
Maybe he has a note from the other chair.
I don't think he has a hall pass. So, yeah.
Co-chair, well, in this case, Chair Rayfield, committee members, for the record, my name is Tom Wolf with the Oregon Council of Trout Unlimited. I apologize for being late. I was over being the environmental sacrificial lamb in the House Ag Committee on a forest bill, so I apologize for that. I'm just here to support the Water Resources Department budget in general, and in particular the POPs 101 and 104, which pertain to the Klamath Basin, making sure there's adequate staffing to do work there. Trout Unlimited has been very involved in the whole Klamath Basin planning particular the desire to remove four dams on that river. We believe that what the Water Resources Department is doing down there in the Klamath is very vital, very important, and we encourage the funding of those positions as we do to all of them. And I'd like to close with we're asking Water Resources Department and all our natural resource agencies to do a tremendous amount of work with sometimes not enough funding. So we need to continue to provide for them either through creative ideas like House Bill 3315 or through more general fund money for our state natural resource agencies to do the work that we've been told to do. So I support their budget. I support all the natural resource budgets, and that's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Wolf. So with that, we will go ahead and close the public hearing unless there are any other questions. All right, seeing none, thank you all.